Is there any question?
On Monday, you said this is emergency case. Would you like to say what you meant by that, please?
To speak to more than to speak to more than two people and that's what I meant to communicate to one person communicate with more than two people is with one speech that is an emergency case. That's what I meant. Bird. A bird send signal to surrounding, announcing this area is my territory. That is an emergency case. What I meant by you, all of you remember what was the context? Come together and sit together is an emergency case. We don't put too much emphasis on emergency. You can go, there is an exit too, so you can go run away. That's why I started the question. If you don't know why you are here, there must be some question. If there is no question, I do not need to talk.
Good morning. My question is, I'm having difficulty recognizing my basic goodness as it arises. Could you speak to that some?
What do you mean? What do you mean by your goodness? Good. What does it mean?
Goodness. A feeling of self-worth, of
self-worth,
firmness in my being, a sense of trust.
That's pretty serious.
Yes, I guess I'm an emergency case.
It's an emergency case. We all understand it. unless you do something good, goodness don't show up. Especially for immediate other people or situation, even picking up trash from the street, public street, that's enormous goodness. If you share your joy of practice, it goes eternally, even you after die, after your death, it can penetrate into other people and situation. Beyond time and space. In the first place, that kind of enjoyment of merit or practice is luckily given to you as a gift. So it comes from somewhere and you give it to others. And it is all free. You don't price, you don't sell it. Good question, thank you. Hi.
It's the first time that I'm doing sort of this sort of meditation, and it was a very, very good feeling for me to just be in myself. And the thing what I felt very strange, that when the gong bell, just to say it's finished, I felt a huge tension in my head coming after. And it was so, well, during my daytime and lifetime, I can feel this tension and I deal with it all the time, more or less. And it was very surprising for me, then I concentrated. It was really very good feeling in me. And just getting out, it was really, but so rapid, you know, so terribly rapidly. So it's the first time I experienced this in and out. Really, I can see it, this tension coming out. So it's a question, or maybe it's not, it's constant, I don't know.
It is not a question. Thank you. Most of us feel the same way, I think. This sort of meditation, you say, what sort of? Everyone is doing different. It is good we have individual body and mind. You got something to say? Yes.
My question is, how do I keep my heart open when I continually am having judgments come up about myself or about a situation?
The problem is you doubt your judgment. Judgment, it's themselves, it's a natural phenomena. It just measure your measuring standard. To be righteous about it is something else. Come from six consciousness, so to speak. Six is below mano vijñanas, deeper inhabited consciousness. Seventh consciousness is personalized consciousness. Over many years of life experience, you develop this according to like, dislike, suitable, unsuitable, very stained mind, stained consciousness by dualism, good and bad. It's a result of your life experience over many years, and you feel this is the finest, this is the most favorite and finest place for you. Krishna Manas, it's called. Krishna is stained, inhabited, habituated. Mano Vijnana, the sixth consciousness which gather all information of your sense organs, its perceptive element. You gather them all and give information to your seventh consciousness. And immediately calculated all information, and seventh consciousness say, yes, let's go ahead, or no, I do not take this. Yes or no is decided. Everyone has this kind of embedded necessary survival balance, so to speak. Some people don't get frightened in dangerous state. Some people are extremely sensitive about situations and immediately react to whatever impulse is reached to you. Judgmental it has a problem when we stick to judgment, especially on your own. Which hopefully bring you to deep spiritual practice. In matter of fact, it goes always no to you. You are no good. Similar question of this. What good nature do I have? How can I make effort to please other people or serve well other people? When you are so judgmental about your own self, before some sprouting goodness is observed, you stamp on them, you are no good, and withdraw yourself literally from doing good to others. Good friend come along usually at that time and, hey, come on, let's go to meet with this person or something like that, and you start to open up. The matter, subject matter, is how powerful energy of compassion could be channeled. That is what the question is. Especially when you speak of heart, I feel that. How to channel concentrated energy, knowledge, effective to others. Practice in daily life is nothing but cultivating this area. We need many lives to live and practice. Accomplish your final final judgment, so to speak, whether you can say yes to you. Maybe you can die now and never come back or something like that. Please, if you could pronounce your name, I'm appreciate it.
My name is Howard.
Howard, nice.
My question is two parts. The first part, I would like you to talk about bowing. I don't really know what happens and why to do it. The second part of my question is when I enter a meditation,
when
I come into a meditation
hall, yes,
and I offer the incense, and then after the meditation is over, and I put out the candles and bow, the mood is much more respectful than when I first light the incense. And I notice when you do it, the incense is very, very, very thoughtfully placed and lit. And I don't come in with that. I leave with that feeling, but I don't enter the hall with that feeling. And that's basically what I'd like to hear something.
Thank you. Bowing. Very, very profound question. Now in our present society, it has been quite lost subject, so to speak, to bow. Prostration is what you are talking about. Expression of your mind. Physically, it appears as nodding or joint hand, throwing your body near the feet of somebody. It has a great emotion involved in it. Partly, if I go to observe my own experience, what caused me to bow so many, many times. First thing I recall is holding my dying father's icy cold toe in my small hand like this. Literally, I felt my entire body energy is going into him. He was 63 years old. I was 8 years old. And we all six children took turn to massage his feet when he was passing away. Many disciples of him, monks, nuns, and all family were reciting last teaching of the Buddha, Parinibbana Sutra in Japanese. It took about 1 hour or so, one reciting sutra. We repeat three times, and about the end of the third time, he passed on. And everybody literally fell on the ground and cried, bursting to cry. That was the first experience I had, the bowing experience. Fell on the ground and fainted. Getting up from that was some other experience. The world was completely different from before. As a form of Buddhist religious ritual, we were taught how to do it. And from time to time in the ceremony of special kind, you do many, many times of prostration. Doing those, I started to feel and bowing is destroying the self-consciousness while you have other existence. You destroy your conscious self of yourself while you are accepting, trying to accept others as a whole being. You actually swallow other being in you, so to speak. Receive others as they are without question. That's how bowing felt to me. There was a telegram arrived at a Heiji monastery one day toward my last stay in Heiji, and it was from my root master's call, come back from Heiji. So I went to Tatsugami Roshi, month-long vacation, requested. Usually you don't go out of monastery more than half day without permission. 1 month is very long, and why you have to go? And I said, I don't know. My master is requesting me to return. When I returned, my master's temple it was prepared that the transmission ceremony take place. The transmission, Dharma transmission, at that time I didn't know what it is. As soon as I prostrated in front of him 3 times and a big smile from myself, he doesn't smile back to me. He ordered, it is time for transmission. Prepare yourself. I didn't know what's going on. It took whole months to go through proper procedure for that. And many, many, many prostration took place. It was taught how to do it. Writing names of your lineage masters through history until Shakyamuni Buddha, before Shakyamuni Buddha, six other past Buddhas. You literally write them on the sheet, on silk paper, silk cloth. My finger trembles. And each character you put it on, you get up and prostrate, and another character on, and then get up and prostrate many, many times. It's a kind of a diving kind of thing, diving into the pool. My ego didn't allow to do that for a long time. Nobody to bend for. My ego is so strong. Why do I have to bow? There is nothing respectful to bow. That kind of very proud mind. While I was feeling such a contradiction, very strong ego, and when I meet with somebody like Kinse Rinpoche, Ugen Toku Rinpoche. When I go there in front of them, naturally I go crumble down in front of them. And there are no question. And it is the same feeling when something like sick people is nearby, I go touch them. Same kind of action without reason. I recall Allen Ginsberg was talking about bowing several, maybe 10 years ago when we met at Rocky Mountain. He was doing this practice. Could you tell something for us?
When I first, I think the second time I met Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche outside a lecture in a church in New York City, I liked him a lot. And so when, as after the lecture, when he went into his car, I went out on the sidewalk, and partly kidding and partly serious, in between earnest and joke, bowed down and put my head on the pavement, mainly because I liked him and respected him and wanted to show him that I did. So he made fun of me, said, "Oh, Allen Ginsberg down on the ground bowing." And I realized that I got a little insulted, not much, but I realized that little bit of difference was my pride, and I enjoyed noticing that I had some pride left. But before that, I had poet friends, and we felt a sacramental relationship with each other. We felt something sacred about each other's presence, mainly that we were on earth together at the same time, and appreciated that. So we used to bow to each other also. So I saw it as a deep salutation, respect, friendship, devotion, sense of humor.
Thank you. About the incense offering, it's a kind of strange custom, but incense among many offering objects encouraged to practice in Buddhist manuscript from ancient time. Incense is one of most, what do you say, handy and wonderful offering. One is purifying the space, air. Another is send the fragrance to the invisible spirits everywhere. Like when you want to offer the incense to the somebody far place, unreachable, fragrance go too. Of course, what you are offering is your own mind, own prayer to send. My grandmaster taught me how to offer incense. Only teaching he left to his disciples is to stick incense straight. The local incense, when you just open the package and light it and stick it, every incense go like this. Hardly stand straight, because when maker make and dry them, it is so they are soft still, and all of them are cut like this, not straight, horizontal. It's always cut like this. With knife they cut a bunch of them. So how you do it is, if you let someone offer incense, when you prepare incense, you break the bottom part about a small portion. You break them straight. And then let it stand. Very simple. I bet you have always problem. Incense go like this and ashes go on the white tablecloth. And it goes. And even you blow it, incense ashes everywhere.